Hi, Dave Emery here. This is For the Record, program number 1161. Biopsyop Apocalypse Now, part 21. What the hell does Dave Emery mean by biopsyop apocalypse? This is being recorded on November 13th of the year 2020. It is Friday the 13th, and I guess that is appropriate. By the way, very soon the latest flash drive will be available with much of the work I've done on COVID-19. I get no money from that. There is a link at the top of each description to get a hold of that, or you can go to the kfjc.org, that's Kangaroo Fred John Charles.org, and you can access that link. There may be a lockdown on the station at which I record this, so there certainly will be a bit of an attenuation, possibly an interruption in, programming and, writing of the descriptions. I'm going to, do what I can under these circumstances. Perhaps not. We will see. Now, the concept of biopsyop, is something that I mean quite literally. Obviously, we have spent a great deal of time on the virus itself and the, at this point, certainty that it was created and not in a Chinese lab, although it certainly had input from the Chinese lab. They, however, the Wuhan Institute of Virology was set up, in my opinion. There are institutions created linked to the Pentagon, the CIA, that are all over that thing. When one has studied the JFK assassination and the painting of Oswald Red, it is a very useful paradigm. The absolute drivel about the Russians having interfered in our elections and, you know, the BS about the hacks is something very similar. I did a lot of work on that. Something that we have noted as the CIA's cyber weapons are designed to simulate not only Russian but Chinese, Arabic, Farsi, and Korean cyber affairs. So given the track record of the CIA, certainly while one would not automatically assume that it isn't, it's something one should take with a generous dose of salt. And when you see something like the supposed hack of the Democratic Party, and they're using an outdated PAS shell and the ISP address of the alleged hacker is hard-coded into the malware, you're looking at disinformation. And that individual named Professor, or nicknamed Professor, is under the control of Anton Gerashenko, part of the OUNB milieu in the Ukrainian parliament. Things like that are a dead giveaway. And in my estimation, the Wuhan Institute of Virology was set up in a very similar fashion. One could think of it as the Oswald Institute of Virology or the Wuhan Institute of Oswald. Take your pick. Now, when people are afraid, it undermines what rationality they have. People are afraid not only of the virus, something they cannot see, and past a point, do not understand. They are afraid of something they can see and understand only too well, and that is economic ruin. The COVID-19 op, which is basically what it is, not only takes place within the context of a broad-based, covert and overt series of operations against China, an open trade war, but it is something that is playing into a number of very important political and psychological dynamics. I have heard a lot of anti-Chinese racism and anti-Asian racism since this began, and it is intended, obviously, to pin the blame for all of the death and the economic and social disruption on China. Beginning with the New York Times of October 6th of 2020 by Chris Buckley, distrust of China jumps to new highs in democratic nations. Xi Jinping celebrates China's battle against the coronavirus as a success. But in the U.S. and other wealthy democracies, that should be in quotes, the pandemic has driven negative views of China to new heights, a survey published on Tuesday showed. The illness, deaths, and disruption caused by the coronavirus in those countries have intensified already strong public distrust of China, where the virus emerged late last year, the results from the Pew Research Center's survey indicated. Quote, unfavorable opinion has soared over the past year, said the survey on views of China taken this year in 14 countries, including Japan, South Korea, Canada, and Germany, Italy, and European nations. Quote, today, a majority in each of the surveyed countries has an unfavorable opinion of China, unquote. The results illustrate how much negative opinions of China have taken hold around the world in recent years. To China's leaders, such wary attitudes could present obstacles for the Communist Party's ambitions of expanding Beijing's influence. The tide of public distrust could make cooperation harder even on issues where national interests align. Quote, and this is a concept that extends beyond anything having to do with China and will underpin much of what we will be talking about. Public opinion is a powerful constraint, unquote, said Natasha Kassam, K-A-S-S-A-M, a former Australian diplomat who is a research fellow at the Lowy Institute in Sydney, where she studies public opinion and foreign policy. Quote, we can see in both Australia and the U.S., for example, souring public opinion has served as a powerful driver for governments to be particularly vocal, unquote, about China. And that is one of the central goals of this. That is why the Wuhan Institute of Virology was, in my opinion, set up. And we've done numerous programs about the U.S. Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases at Fort Detrick, closed down by the CDC in early August of 2019. We don't know why, and there's all this discussion of how opaque WIV has been. How about the U.S. AMRIID? And we've taken a look at Peter Daszak and the U.S. AID and Pentagon-funded programs he's been involved with, including the programs with WIV, financed by USAID in part. There was an article in GM Watch, which has very good science, but doesn't seem to be able to move past the China did it meme. And they talk about Daszak. Having Daszak, they quoted one fellow as saying, having Daszak investigate this is like having Nazi war criminals investigated by Joseph Goebbels. And I'm paraphrasing slightly. Poisoning a public opinion against China, which is not just being done by the COVID-19 op, but with what we have spoken about vis-a-vis Hong Kong, vis-a-vis Xinjiang province and the Uyghurs, both of those, by the way, tracking back to the, in part at least, to the milieu of the OUNB that we have looked at, the Captive Nations Committee, the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation, and a number of things that we have spoken about. And if one takes a look at NEB, that tracks all the way back to William Casey, assigned by Alan Dulles and the OSS to handle operations in Germany in 1944 and 45, and someone who then operated continuously in the GOP and CIA and in the underground Reich slash Galen slash Bormann milieu. The bio psyop has had much to do, I believe, with the political reactions throughout this country. We'll talk more about later on in this program about the time permitting. We'll see how this goes. We may have to do another program about this, but the Black Lives Matter protests, the desire of people to commune with other like-minded people, and the people on the other side as well, the counter-protesters and people from the Boogaloo Boys milieu to the Proud Boys, etc., and the people allied with Donald Trump. They, too, are frightened. And when fear is an implosive, intrusive emotion, and when people are feeling that, it is a very frequent and initially at least more calm and more satisfying feeling to become angry. Angry is expansive. It is, anger is expansive. Anger is explosive. And I think both the fear, the anxiety, and the resulting anger that people are feeling is manifesting across the board. I think it had much to do with the election results. We may have time to talk about that in this program, perhaps another dealing with that. But underlying so much of what is going on is the fear. Something people that could kill them, that they can't see the virus. Something that could kill them, and that they can see only too well, and that is economic ruin. Bear in mind also, and this is another important point, human beings are social animals. They are absolutely hardwired to have human contact, and being separated from others, whether it is kids in school or on the playground, people in the office, even having masks covering part of human faces. Human beings are basically hardwired to respond to faces and the expressions on those faces. Bear in mind also that in addition to the irresponsible behavior of a fair amount of the population in this country who just will not stand to have anything impede their sense of comfort or convenience, this is being, the virus that is, I am absolutely convinced, is being spread, and certain communities are being deliberately vectored. Also, certain communities are basically messing their diapers by not taking some very basic precautions. But keeping all of these things in mind, this pandemic, this biopsyop, and I believe it is going to be an apocalypse. They've got a vaccine, but who knows how effective it is going to be. The preliminary tests are very effective. It, by the way, is a messenger RNA vaccine like that of Moderna. There has never been an injected nucleic acid vaccine that has been approved for use on human beings. This will be the first, and many medical and scientific experts have observed that down the line there are many deleterious side effects. It remains to be seen what happens with the BioNTech, that's a German firm, that partnered with Pfizer. But as one looks at people erupting on the right on behalf of Donald Trump, people erupting on the left from those relatively small numbers of Black Lives Matter protesters who have, in fact, been violent, some of the more irresponsible responses on the left, for example, the defund the police people, I think, are, in a sense, overreacting as well. A fair number of them, by the way, have been financed by the Ford Foundation, which is like USAID that financed the EcoHealth Alliance work at WIV. Ford Foundation is a very common CIA conduit. It is not only a CIA conduit, but it has been used extensively in the past. Now, what the hell does Dave Emery mean by biopsyop? The New York Times op-ed page of Friday, August 7th of 2020, a column by Jennifer Senior, or Senior, S-E-N-I-O-R, hitting a wall of pandemic proportions. Reading a portion of this, I am trying to think of when I first realized we had all gone smack into a wall. was it 2 weeks ago, when a friend, ordinarily a paragon of wifely discretion, started a phone conversation with a boffo rant about her husband? Was it when I looked at my own spouse? 1 week later, this probably was, and calmly told him that each and every one of my problems was his fault. Was it when I looked at my own spouse 1 week later this, or maybe it was when I was scrolling through Twitter and saw a tweet from the author Amanda Stern, single and living in Brooklyn, who noted it had been 137 days since she'd given or received a hug. Quote, "Hello, I am depressed," unquote, were its last four words. Whatever this is, it is real and quantifiable and extends far beyond my own meager solar system of colleagues and pals and dearly beloveds. Call it pandemic fatigue. Call it the summer poop out. Call it whatever you wish. Any label at this point would probably be too trivializing, belying what is in fact a far deeper problem. We are not, as a nation, all right. No, indeed, and neither are any other nations as well. This is the perfect storm, so to speak. It is a huge windfall for Big Pharma. It is a global biometric data mining operation. It is an anti-China op, and it is cleaving people to the very core of their personalities. New York Times, Friday, July 3rd of 2020, by Amanda Taub and Jane Bradley, B-R-A-B-L-E-Y. Lockdown pressures. Failings in Britain leave victims of domestic violence in peril. That column by Jennifer Seymour, just thinking of her own rant against her husband or her friend's rant about his husband. Sometimes it becomes more than rant. Sometimes people go off the rails and begin beating people up. And that particularly is the case if they have been drinking. We'll talk about people sucking down the booze later on in this discussion. New York Times, Wednesday, October 21st of 2020, by Felice Bellman, B-E-L-M-A-N, Voices of Stress, Family After Family, Crowded Hospitals, Empty Classrooms, Persistent Unemployment, Shifting Public Safety Rules. Yep, Ms. Senora said, call it what you want. I call it a bio-psyop. New York Times, op-ed. Saturday, October 17th of 2020, by an op-ed column by Christopher Solomon in Twist, PWISP, Washington. In the mountain town, preparing for dark times, talking about, as the virus spreads, we look to winter and wonder who we can pull close. Yes, again, a bio-psyop. And it is going to be particularly wounding to people during the holidays. Here in the U.S., the virus is soaring. I think part of that is the irresponsibility of the Republican Party going up to Donald Trump and just the unwillingness of the American people, a large percentage of whom are frankly just spoiled brats, and they just refuse to inconvenience themselves at all. They want to do whatever the hell they want to do. That's part of it. I also am convinced that it is being deliberately spread. But let me tell you, things are going to get really nasty around the holidays. It is a time when people want to go close. They want to visit with their loved ones. They want to go out and go to restaurants and give gifts. And things are going to be, the fresh fertilizer is going to be hitting the fan. The sports page, New York Times, Monday, October 12th of 2020, by Kurt Streeter, S-T-R-E-E-T-E-R. Children feel as empty as the fields they roamed. And a quote here, all of this has taken a toll, unquote, says one teenager left idle during the pandemic. Yep, and sports are going to be interesting to watch too. The NFL is back. College football is back, but it will be interesting to see how the virus affects that. People may not be able to watch all the bowl games they want, and that is going to have an effect as well. New York Times op-ed page of Friday, October 23rd of 2020 by Ashley Fetters, F-E-T-T-E-R-S. We miss in-person work trends. A quote here, a future without chats in the office kitchen seems pretty lonely. And again, across the board, human beings are social animals. They are hardwired for personal contact, and yet they are being separated. It is a well-known phenomenon, and I won't dwell too long on this, that inmates who have been in solitary confinement for a long period of time are basically damaged very often by that long period of solitary confinement. That basically is why it is a punishment. Human beings are hardwired for human contact. And when you take that away, you are going to take human beings and make them much more volatile and much more easy to manipulate. New York Times, op-ed Sunday, September 6th of 2020. Analysis by Kate Murphy. We're all socially awkward now. Deprived people of interactions with peers and their social skills will atrophy. Yes, indeed. Bio-psyop apocalypse, what I am talking about. That is what in bloody hell I mean by that. New York Times, of Monday, September 28th of 2020, by Anna Goldfarb. Social distancing can hurt your friendships. Staying connected in 2020 requires shared commitment. Yes, indeed, social distancing can hurt your friendships. If you're afraid of people because you think they're going to make you sick, or you just can't hug them or can't interact with them, that is going to have an effect. And that is, when you take a population, whether it is a town or a city or a state or an entire country, and you subject them to that, baby, you have got people who are going to be nasty little dogs, and they will be very easily manipulated by someone who wishes to loose the dogs of war, to quote William Shakespeare, speaking through Brutus. Through Mark Antony, that was the soliloquy. Back to the bio-psyop apocalypse. New York Times, Friday, August 14th of 2020, by Jan Hoffman, H-O-F-F-M-A-N, in the mental health column. Anxiety is felt most keenly by three groups. The collateral damage from the pandemic continues. Young adults, as well as Black and Latino people of all ages, describe rising levels of anxiety, depression, and even suicidal thoughts and increased substance abuse, according to findings reported by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. In a research survey, U.S. residents reported signs of eroding mental health in reaction to the toll of coronavirus illnesses and deaths, and to the life altering restrictions imposed by lockdowns. Yeah, that's what the hell I mean by bio-psyop apocalypse. More from the New York Times, op-ed, Friday, July 3rd of 2020, David Brooks, one of their conservative op-ed writers, the national humiliation we need, I wouldn't say we need it, but we are sure as bloody hell getting it, our first few paragraphs. We Americans enter the July 4th weekend of 2020 humiliated as almost never before. We had one collective project this year, and that was to crush COVID-19, and we failed. On Wednesday, we had about 50,000 new positive tests, a record. Other nations are beating the disease, while our infection lines shoot upward as sharply as they did in March. This failure will lead to other failures. A third of Americans show signs of clinical anxiety or depression, according to the Census Bureau. Suspected drug overdose deaths surged by 42% in May. Small businesses, colleges, and community hubs will close. Yes, indeed. Biopsyop apocalypse. People are frightened. They are then responding to the fear by getting angry. And that anger will be superbly manipulated by the right behavioral architect. More New York Times from Monday, September 28th of 2020 by Pam Belluck, B-E-L-L-U-C-K. Symptoms. Another effective pandemic. My hair started coming out in chunks. Skipping down. In normal times, some people shed noticeable amounts of hair after a profoundly stressful experience such as illness, major surgery, or emotional trauma. Now, doctors say many patients recovering from COVID-19 are experiencing hair loss, not from the virus itself, but from the physiological stress of fighting it off. Many people who never contracted the virus are also losing hair because of emotional stress from job loss, because of financial strain, deaths of family members, or other devastating developments stemming from the pandemic. Yes, indeed, and it's not just hair today, gone tomorrow, but well, another New York Times from the well section, and that is as in being healthy, not the hole where you get your water from in the ground. Tuesday, September 15th of 2020 by Tammy Chen, DDS, a dentist. A dentist sees more cracked teeth. What's going on? And she writes, as soon as I reopened, the cases started coming in at least one a day, every day. And she talks about various things from people staying at home and gorging on sweets and to things like, second, most of us aren't getting the restorative sleep we need. Since the onset of the pandemic, I've listened to patient after patient describe sudden restlessness and insomnia. These are hallmarks of an overactive or dominant sympathetic nervous system which drives the body's fight-or-flight response. Think of a gladiator preparing for battle, balling his fists, clenching his jaw. Because of the stress of coronavirus, the body stays in a battle-ready state of arousal instead of resting and recharging. All that tension goes straight to the teeth. Indeed, people are grinding their teeth. They are stressed out. It is the bio-psyop apocalypse. And we were talking about the domestic violence that is happening in Britain and elsewhere. Wednesday, New York Times, Wednesday, May 27th of 2020, by Maria Kramer, C-R-A-M-E-R. Sobering reality. Many are drinking to excess. Yes, indeed. That, I think, speaks for itself. She writes, addiction specialists see potential danger in your quarantining. Indeed, it is natural when you are feeling pain, even when you're angry, when you're scared, and people are both. First, they are frightened, and then they go, wait a minute, you know, I'm not going to wear a mask. I'm not going to quarantine. What are all these N-words out there doing, riding in the streets? I'm going to get a gun to go out there and confront them. Or they're going, hey, wait a minute. What, look at what those cops did to George Floyd and all these other people. We got to go out and we got to march. And some people are acting out politically. We'll talk more about that later in the program. Some people are hoisting fruit of the vine. They are drinking too damn much. And alcohol, boy, is really bad. Not only if you are frightened, it will make you, it may deaden your fear. If you're angry, it's going to make you more angry. But it is bad for the immune system. And one of the reasons why you can smell alcohol on the breath of someone who has been drinking, and alcohol is extremely toxic, as your body metabolizes alcohol, it comes out through the lungs. And it is very unhealthy. And that is the last goddamn thing you want to be doing when there is a respiratory virus going around. It may make you feel good, but it will make you more vulnerable to infection. The New York Times, Thursday, May 21st of 2020, by Jenny Gross and Claire Moses, Guidelines on Sex. Spring is also in the air, encouraging safe intimacy. And it talks about the conflict between social distancing and the natural pull of the birds and the bees, so to speak. Skipping down. In Denmark, the country's health chief gave his blessing to even casual sexual encounters throughout the pandemic. Sex is good. Sex is healthy, unquote, Soren Rostrum, director general of the Danish Health Authority, said in April, according to the local DK, an English language news site. Quote, we are sexual beings, and of course, you can have sex in this situation, unquote. In New York, Los Angeles, and other U.S. cities, however, officials recommended masturbation and suggested avoiding sexual contact with people in other households. Quote, you are your safest sex partner, unquote, according to guidelines in New York and Los Angeles. The next safest partner is someone you live with, unquote. San Francisco officials recommended, quote, limiting sex to your main partners, unquote. In Washington, the mayor's office told residents that having sex with a live-in partner was okay as long as they first checked to make sure their partner is also feeling well. Quote, sex and close contact will be waiting for you when you are feeling better, unquote. It reassured residents in a statement. Oregon went further. In a detailed poster, the Oregon Health Authority offered graphics to go with its suggestions. Quote, avoid kissing anyone who is not part of your small circle of close contacts, unquote, the notice said. Health officials also encouraged partners to consider sexting and web chat platforms for remote sex. My guess is the porno business is doing very well. But again, biopsyop apocalypse. In Britain, it's not mentioned here, but in Britain, they made it a criminal offense, not jailable, because that wouldn't work too well, given what is going on in prisons. But they made it a crime, with a sizable fine, to have sex with anyone with whom you are not living. When you take one of the fundamental drives of the human animal, the sex drive, and when you stress that out and you add that to everything else, you have a strange brew indeed, and it is going to produce a very, very toxic stew. With the just concluded World Series, for example, the sports page of the New York Times of October 31st of 2020 by Kurt Streeter, an open letter to a Dodger and the commissioner. This is about the world champion Dodgers and their third baseman, Justin Turner, who tested positive for the virus and was then removed from the game according to MLB protocols. He then was on the field celebrating with his teammates and was photographed without a mask. And that caused a reprimand from the commissioner of baseball and plenty of predictable and not altogether incorrect bloviating in the media. Skipping down in this, he's talking, this is an open letter to Justin Turner. Add in the pandemic with its pressures, tensions, and pain. Perhaps you succumb to what psychologists call COVID fatigue, with a capital C and a capital F, which can lead to poor and sometimes dangerous decision-making as we seek ways to taste some semblance of normalcy. Indeed, COVID fatigue, with a capital C and a capital F. Not something to be dismissed at all. And by the way, remember that police are human and they are stressed too. I, for one, would not want to be a cop in the pandemic. You just think of all the people they have to deal with, some of whom are off the rails, many of whom are not playing with the full deck. I wouldn't want to be doing that. And if you are dealing with the police in any capacity, and this is not to present a brief for what was done to George Floyd, for example, but remember that they are going to be stressed out as well. So factor that in into your behavior. The New York Times of Friday, October 30th of 2020. This by Thomas Fuller and Tim Arango from the Dateline Oakland, California. Rise in murders is tied to COVID, experts say. Cities are stressed and awash in guns. Family and friends of Aaron Pryor say they may never know exactly why the 16-year-old star football player, a lightning-fast running back, was killed in broad daylight on a Sunday in September in a driveway near his Oakland home. Video of the shooting viewed by family members shows an assailant who has not been arrested confronting the baby-faced teenager before firing more than a dozen rounds. But his football coach, Joe Bates, B-A-T-E-S, does not hesitate in assigning blame. With school entirely online and football season canceled, the coronavirus shattered the man's life, Mr. Bates said. The mandatory 7 a.m. study halls for the team's players, the daily three-hour practices, the Friday games that last late into the night, all that was gone this fall. In a normal year, Mr. Pryor would have been on the field, not on the streets, the coach said. It was COVID that really killed this kid. Well, I would say factor in all of the other things we have been talking about. People are drunk. People are out of work. People are scared. Scared of the virus. Scared of economic destruction. People are horny. They're not getting sex. They are stressing in all of the ways we have spoken about. They're drinking too much. They're taking too many drugs. And there are plenty of firearms around. In connection with this, I did not save the articles. I noticed here in the South San Francisco Bay Area, and I read about this in other cities, fireworks this spring were absolutely off the scale. And not firecrackers per se, not even things like cherry bombs, but big things I personally would classify more as explosives. And a lot of these were aerial launched. It was really, in my opinion, far closer to crude artillery than to the firecrackers one normally sees displayed around New Year's, the Asian New Year holiday, and things that kids play with on the 4th of July. This was like a war zone, and I think that had the same phenomenon. It is because people were stressed out, and they wanted a way to literally blow off steam. And by the way, that didn't do anything for those of us who don't play with fireworks and who wanted to get some sleep. I'll tell you, it was insane in the South Bay and elsewhere as well. More about this bio-psyop apocalypse. New York Times, Saturday, April 25th of 2020 by Michael Wilson. Freeing nerves dishearten city weary of crisis. A walk in the park brings tense flare-ups. Back off, you're too close. Oh, really? Then stay home. A loud neighbor, once a fleeting annoyance of urban life, is cause for complaint to the city. Wake at noon, still tired. The city's can-do resilience has given way to resignation and random tears. In Queens, Nicole Roderka, R-O-D-E-R-K-828, knows she must wear a mask outside and sets it aside. In Brooklyn, Lauren Sellers grinds her teeth at night. There are sores in her mouth from the stress. When a three-year-old boy in Manhattan's Inwood section, Eli McKay, looked around and declared, "The virus is gone today. We can go see my friends," unquote, his mother replied as if from one of his picture book fantasies, "Maybe tomorrow," unquote. A feeling of sadness shot through with frayed nerves could be felt in conversations in and around the city as the coronavirus outbreak in the world's epicenter dragged for its sixth week, its end still too far off to see. And this was in April. Okay, and you just get ready for this to go nuclear during the holidays. Just I don't like this thing one damn bit, but I am sure glad I'm not a kid, and I feel really sorry for what the kids who are growing up in this thing. They are, many of them anyway, if not most, are going to be deeply, perhaps permanently scarred from this. It is going to be really bad. Now, as I mentioned, I think that much of what we have been seeing in the political realm is being driven by this same thing. This is not to hold a brief for what was done to George Floyd, or a brief for Donald Trump, but all across the board, black, white, right wing, left wing, people are afraid. They are afraid of something they can't see that might kill them, the virus, and they are afraid, terrified of something they can see only too well, and that is economic destruction, and people have been pulled apart from one another. The human contact that is absolutely essential for the psychology, for the psyche of Homo sapiens has been rent asunder. And I think that had much to do, and again, this is not to dismiss what was done to George Floyd or to others, and bear in mind that the cops also are stressed out. So the number of cops who are going to go off the deep end is also going to increase, as are the number of people in the black community, as are right-wingers who are going to respond to this. As for Donald Trump, he has always been off the deep end. That is where he is most comfortable swimming. The New York Times of Friday, June 5th of 2020, about a week or so after George Floyd, from Michael Wilson and Sandra E. Garcia. From behind closed doors to out in the streets, protests are a personal liberation for many New Yorkers. I think for far more than just New Yorkers. Banner headline in the New York Times of Sunday, May 31st of 2020, the weekend that the George Floyd killing took place. Spreading unrest leaves a nation on edge. By Peter Baker, President Needles as America Burns. And right beside it, the column, In the Flames, a Fear of Spiraling Chaos. This is by John Elligan, Matt Farber, and Campbell Robertson. Again, I think the desire of people not only to lash out or to make noise, but the desire to congregate in groups, to feel that you are included in an inclusive medium against those whom you feel to be hostile is profound. And I think that is a major factor in what has been taking place. I think the failure of the forecast blue wave, for example, to manifest had much to do with the bio psyop apocalypse. There was a poll that something like 67%, a large percent of people initially supported the Black Lives Matter protests. That declined to about 55%, and it did not say where they were. My guess is most of those 55% who were still approving were in places that were blue states, New York, California, something like that. Again, under the pressure of the bio psyop, people are frightened, and when you are frightened, it is natural to become angry. And I don't think people are feeling altruistic at all. They're not thinking, well, yeah, you know, black people really are getting the dirty end of the stick, so to speak, and what was done to George Floyd was bad and something should be done. They are not feeling altruistic. They're not thinking, yeah, you know, there has been historical racism, and black people should have something done about that by the government. They are thinking, they are worried about themselves, and they're saying, you know, damn, man, I want the government to do something about me. I'm scared. I'm worried about what's going to happen to me. I may not have a job. I may get sick. My family gets sick. I don't give a damn about those N-words. I'm worried about me. I want the government to do something about me. It is a natural reaction, and I think the failure of the blue wave had much to do with the bio-psyop apocalypse. Another banner headline from shortly after the George Floyd incident from the New York Times of Monday, June 1st of 2020 by Shayla DeWan, D-E-W-A-N, of Mike Baker. Twin crises and surging anger convulse U.S. Videos from protests deepen scrutiny of aggressive police tactics. Again, it talks about, and on the other side, by Jack Healy and Dion Searcy, S-E-A-R-C-E-Y. Pandemic leaves nations' nerves on the edge. There are parallel plagues ravaging America, the coronavirus and police killings of black men and women. Again, pandemic leaves nations' nerves on the edge. And a lot of people are saying, I don't care about the black people. I don't care about this group. I don't care about that. I'm worried about me. I want the government to do something about me. I don't care about these people. I don't care about affirmative action. You know, I want the government to help me. I'm frightened. I'm worried about the virus. I'm worried about my job. I'm worried about my family. I don't care about those people. I want the government to help me, damn it. And I think that had much to do with the failure of the blue wave to manifest. And merging even, delving even farther into the political swamp, from the New York Times of Monday, July 20th of 2020 by Ben Smith. The media equation. Lockdown anger provides fertile ground for virus contrarians. And again, people are angry and they are frightened. When you are frightened, it is an implosive, invasive emotion. But anger is expansive, explosive. And people, I think, are some of them who might otherwise be more reflective. You know, hey, I don't want to wear a damn mask. You know, I want to go to the motorcycle rally in Sturgis. I want to go to a bar. I want to get drunk. I want to bend an elbow with my buddies. I want to go to a restaurant. I want to go to a ball game. You know, bleep this. And it also, not only for the people who have made a buck off of dissing the guidelines that people like Fauci have set forth, it also is feeding the appetites of people for reactionaries, for fascists. And that is something that just should not be dismissed. New York Times of Monday, May 25th of 2020. The Interpreter by Max Fisher. Politics and the Public. How Fear and Psychology Explain Rising Support for Leaders. And it talks about how this plays out, skipping down. It might seem like a paradox that the leaders who have overseen the world's worst death tolls reap the most political benefit. Think about Trump. The coronavirus, an invisible enemy that has killed more than 300,000 people, strains some of our most sensitive psychological stress points. For human beings, feelings of security, stability, and control are needs practically as important as food or water. Believing that the group is united and the leader is in control can satisfy those needs. One more time. For human beings, feelings of security, stability, and control are needs practically as important as food or water. Believing that the group is united and the leader is in control can satisfy those needs. The belief may seem irrational in the face of a virtually uncontrollable pandemic, but social scientists say that psychological self-preservation is still self-preservation. Choosing beliefs that keep us sane and stable during terrifying times are in that sense deeply rational. Studies find that the reader can activate support amid a crisis through appeals to unity and simply by being visible. These cues make people feel more aware of their group identity, which makes them trust it more. Again, how fear did the headline of this, how fear and psychology explain rising support for readers. But then hearkening back to how we began this discussion, talking about how the biopsyop is working against opinion of China. In addition to trust of Libras, it can also lead to the undermining of support for others. A New York Times story from August 29th of 2020 by Anton Troyanovsky, Troyanovsky. Something broke inside apolitical Belarusians, unquote. Why an apolitical people rose up. And this is about Anton, Mr. Lukashenko, frequently labeled as Europe's last dictator. I guess they haven't looked too much into Ukraine, but maybe not a dictator, but a dictatorial fascist oligarchy. Talking about the effect of the pandemic on the people who had formerly tolerated Mr. Lukashenko. This is the other side of the coin from supporting a strong leader who makes you feel secure. But to a large middle class, skipping down in the article, but to a large middle class and a worldly elite in the former Soviet Republic of 9.5 million people, the system was one they could live with. For those who stayed out of politics, the good roads, clean streets, prim lawns, tax breaks for tech companies, and ease of travel to the West could make for a good living by Eastern European standards. It took just months this year for that balance to collapse. Trapped inside their country by the coronavirus pandemic, many Belarusians began to chafe at the inhumanity in Mr. Lukashenko's rule and language that had once been easy to ignore. One more time, trapped inside their country by the coronavirus pandemic, many Belarusians began to chafe at the inhumanity in Mr. Lukashenko's rule and language that had once been easy to ignore. And I think unrest all over the world is being driven in part by the bio-psyop. And this is very likely to manifest down the line. I'm going to review something we read earlier in the year. This is from the political blog of May 5th of 2020. It is by Quint Forgey, F-O-R-G-E-Y. Fed study ties 1918 flu pandemic to Nazi Party gains. A member of the New York Fed named Christian, K-R-I-S-T-I-A-N, Blickle, B-L-I-C-K-L-E, it speaks for itself. A new academic paper produced by the Federal Reserve Bank of New York concludes that deaths caused by the 1918 influenza pandemic, quote, profoundly shaped German society, unquote, in subsequent years and contributed to the strengthening of the Nazi Party. One more time. A new academic paper produced by the Federal Reserve Bank of New York concludes that deaths caused by the 1918 influenza pandemic, quote, profoundly shaped German society, unquote, in subsequent years, and contributed to the strengthening of the Nazi Party. Quote, the paper, published this month and authored by the New York Fed economist Christian Blickle, examined municipal spending levels and voter extremism in Germany from the time of the initial influenza outbreak until 1933, and shows that, quote, areas which experienced a greater relative population decline due to the pandemic spent less per capita on their inhabitants in the following decade. And my guess is that the economic collapse underway, and it's going to get worse. If indeed the Republicans retain control of the Senate, that remains to be seen. I think they're going to do the same thing to Joe Biden, again, Biden works and all, that they did to Barack Obama. And ultimately, if in fact the Republicans retain control of the Senate, a combination of that, their power in the appellate courts and the Supreme Court, they will, I think, be able to frustrate any meaningful attempt at economic recovery, at least for a lot of people. And people, those people who are frustrated and afraid and angry, are going to say, we've got to have somebody other than Biden. Well, let's try it. And they will go for the Republicans. So I think something very similar is going to happen in this country, very possibly anyway. Continuing, the paper's findings are likely due to changes in societal preferences, unquote, following the 1918 outbreak, Buckle argues, suggesting the influenza pandemic's disproportionate toll on young people may have, quote, spurred resentment of foreigners among the survivors, unquote, and driven voters to parties, quote, whose platform matched such sentiments. One more time. The paper's findings are likely due to changes in societal preferences, unquote, following the 1918 outbreak, Buckle argues, suggesting the influenza pandemic's disproportionate toll on young people may have, quote, spurred resentment of foreigners among the survivors, unquote, and driven voters to parties, quote, whose platform matched such sentiments, unquote. The conclusions came amid fears that the current coronavirus pandemic will shake up international politics and spur extremism around the world as officials and public health experts look to previous outbreaks for guidance on how to navigate the months and years to come. Again, I think that is absolutely spot on. And even yet another consideration. Together, the lower spending and flu-related deaths had a strong effect on the share of votes won by extremists, specifically the extremist National Socialist Party, unquote, the Nazis, the paper posits. Quote, this result is stronger for right-wing extremists and largely non-existent for left-wing extremists, unquote. Well, we will see. And the New York Times article from Monday, May 25th, how fear and psychology explain rising support for leavers. Well, it may ultimately lead for rising support for a Führer. And I don't think any of this is accidental. I think this was is one of the goals of the pandemic. And again, I've done maybe 35, 40 programs directly about the virus. A few more to go. The most important aspect of what we're going to talk about is the wealth concentration virus. I want to emphasize again that all of the various aspects of this, the eugenic virus, the democracy killing virus, the bio psyop apocalypse, what the hell does Jay Remery mean by that, the wealth concentration virus, all of these are different aspects of the same phenomenon. And I believe this was intended. I think they've been working on this for a long time. This has been a long time coming. And it's going to be a long time gone, in my opinion. However, the time is all but gone as well. This concludes For the Record, program number 1161. Bio Psyop Apocalypse Now, Part 21. What the hell does Dave Emery mean by Bio Psyop Apocalypse? This is being recorded on Friday, November 13th, of the year 2020. I'm Dave Emery. Have fun.